WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN Radio.
She wants to leave. Oh, sitting by, and then she wants to leave. So wanna run it now.
The last song was Doggy Head. Yes. Okay. I always want that to be Honey.
Yeah. That song really got its band name a really funny way.
Yeah.
If you know Fleet Foxes, that band, they have this song, and the whole time it sounds like he's singing Doggy Head, but he's singing Don't Give In. So. That's how it got its name.
That's kind of fantastic.
Because no one could tell what the lyrics were to this song. So we called it Doggy Head, even though it never ever sounds like we're saying Doggy Head in this song.
That's one of those great inside jokes that is perfect for a time like this when we're talking about your music. So I'm Melissa Goode with WNRN, and we're talking today with Drink Up Buttercup, a band out of Philadelphia that have just put together their first album. It's called Born and Thrown on a Hook. And when I got a copy of your first single that was put out to some radio stations, I was like, this is fantastic. This is like, it's got this great kind of amped up punky kind of sound. And that's what I was expecting from your full length album. But when the full length came, there were so many different subtleties to it. Jim, can you tell us a little bit about how long it actually took to put together this first album?
Oh, wow. Well, we had, basically, we've been a band for about 2.5 years now at this point, and we started playing together and just loved playing music together. And what happened was people ended up coming out and seeing us play because we wanted to play live. And then we got so wrapped up in wanting to play live shows and people, you know, wanting to see us play live shows that we kind of forgot to record an album. So we've been working on these songs as a group for like 2.5 years. I mean, Doggy Head and maybe and even Think, that first single, like those are like I think like the more recent songs that we wrote together off of the album. But like everything else, like most of the other tracks, minus like those two and the interludes, like we've been working those into our live set like since we've been a band. So we've had these songs that we've wanted to get out to people for a long time, and it basically just needed to all come together with finding the right producer, finding the right person to mix our album, and then everything that comes in between that, like the artwork and everything. We've been done recording the album for over a year.
Yeah.
And it just came out this week. So long story short, we've had the art side of it done for a while. It just takes time to get through the red tape and do the release right and everything. So
yeah, for real. So I'm going to have Ben, I'm going to have you come over here and talk on the mic a little bit. I wanted to ask you, when you're spending that long working on an album, do you find yourself kind of thinking differently about your style when you're in studio, when you're working with a producer in a different aspect than just being live?
I would have to say, yeah, definitely. Specifically in this case, we kind of had a very specific decision that we wanted to make, that we wanted to sound different than our live show, to get back into that, because that was where we were coming from, and we didn't want people to just hear it and think that it was our live show. And we knew that when we created these songs that we had like conceptual stories and like basically chord structure and song progression like in mind. Each song has its own like personal story to it, and we wanted that to cut through, and that really did, because we ended up being able to work with who we wanted to work with, Bill Mariarty specifically helping us start it out, and he would just let us go for hours on end, you know, as like a, it was just basically a project that he was into as well, so there was really no end to what we wanted to do with the song, so it was ever expanding.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, how many times does a band that's just starting out really get to have that sort of momentum behind them? I'm Alyssa Goode talking with Drink Up Buttercup, and we're of course talking about this first album, Born and Thrown on a Hook, and talking about Bill Mariarty, who has worked with Dr. Dog as well. Do you think of Philadelphia as kind of having this music scene that is very friend, that's kind of friendly and willing to work with a new band because of just the excitement that is in the air?
You know, I think that's more of a personal thing with between us and Bill. We always get these Philadelphia music scene questions, and like the Philadelphia music scene is really great, but it's also really different in that I almost feel like there's hardly a scene, because what happens is it's very compact.
It's about four blocks, right?
Yeah, there's, yeah, you know, you can't, like, in New York, you can go and you can play in, you know, Brooklyn one night, and you can play in New York City, like Manhattan, like, the next night, and you're fine, and the club, you know, people that own the club aren't going to get mad at you. Like, if you were to play within 2 weeks of like, a show in Philadelphia, like, people are going to start getting mad, so you really have to, you kind of, like, spread yourself thin in Philadelphia, and, I mean, I find that most bands that do well don't really do well until they leave Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of that going on with cities that aren't the same size as, like, a New York or an Austin or a Nashville even.
Yeah.
Because you do, like you're saying, yeah. You hit
but
that
in Philly, we're lucky
head.
Enough to be able to drive up to New York and, you know, make that, like, a second home. It's so close, so.
Yeah, that's very cool. Did want to talk to you because last week you were talking about you were in Austin at South by Southwest. It sounds like a really crazy thing. You guys were talking that you had done 10 shows altogether and you're scheduled to do more. Did you say that you did 8 shows within 2 days?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so, all right, so Ben, how does that work out? How do you do show after show like that and really make an impact when you know that so many people come to South by Southwest specifically to find those brand new bands?
I think that you almost answered that question in yourself. I mean, making the impact was us doing that many shows when there's that many bands there. What it was now after, I think, is a learning experience, since we had shows scheduled 1, 3:30, you know, 4:30, 7 o'clock, you know, and we thought like, oh, there'd be plenty of times in between that, but literally we found ourselves after hitting the last note of our last song, like just walking off the stage with our instrument and walking down the block to the next venue and like plugging into that amp and going right into
the
first
note. Yeah, we didn't have time to load into the van after between.
We weren't even loading into the van. We were walking our equipment down the street, like organ in our hands, walking backwards, loading it right onto a stage, sound checking. And going right on, if that you would even consider those sound checks.
And I guess then my next question becomes, do you then see the impact a week later from it? Or is this something that you're expecting, you know, like a year down the road, within the next 6 months, you're going to get the impact of, you know, oh, this radio station heard me, this person from a TV show heard me.
That's not a question that we're allowed to answer. If you think about that, I mean, we would like it for it to happen tomorrow.
I think we have so many different, like, we're definitely seeing things grow in front of us right now. And, like, we don't know whether it's because, like, we just put our album out. We just played 10 shows at South by Southwest or on tour We Are Scientists. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to tell what's doing what coming. Or if it's a little bit of, I'm sure it's a little bit of everything, but. I have a feeling that the first show that we played, our first day at South by Southwest, like, did absolutely nothing for our career. But, you know, you don't know until you get there. So you book 10, and then you know, you do 6 great ones, and 4 of them, you know, you wish you didn't do. But.
Exactly.
And now you'll know for next year if you decide to go.
Yeah.
That's where the learning experience comes in.
True. I wanted to ask you also about... this one song that I am absolutely crazy about from the new album, Born and Thrown on a Hook, from Drink Up Buttercup. Young Ladies is just such an interesting little piece of work, and it reminds me so much of like a Beatles song, or it just has a very classic vibe to it. Where does that classic sound come from? Is this just something that you're aware that you're doing, or is this just from within?
It's from within.
Yeah, I didn't think that anything was classic about it since we wrote it like a year and a half ago and recorded it like 8 to 10, 12 months ago. So we didn't think that would be considered classic. We thought that would be more modern, but we keep getting told it's classic sounding. I think maybe it's just like that tack piano that we recorded through the whole song.
Yeah, live we play it with a really dirty organ sound the whole time. I mean, we're gonna do it today.
We're gonna do it here
with the piano, but like we do it live with an organ, and I feel like that in itself makes it like a whole different animal. I don't know. We chose to do it with the piano on the album just so we could, you know, vary the sounds of the album. But you know, then it turned out, I guess, sounding more like quote unquote classic.
Sick, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's the great harmonies that you guys have going on too that really like bring to mind those classic people that we think together, like a Lennon and a McCartney. You know,
well, thank you. That's not a bad compliment.
All right, well, Drink Up Buttercup. The new album is Born and Thrown on a Hook. Thanks so much for talking with us, and let's play some Young Ladies.
Awesome. Yes.
All right.
Let's do it.
Come on, young ladies, your boat can't go. Your legs are waiting in the bay. Come on, you know a church boat can't float. Come on. Come on, come on now. Put your hands together and pray that you'll lose your teeth. All the ladies, little ladies, yeah, you're such good little girls. All the your books and beads away. Come on, young ladies, your prayers all gone. Come on, your hair got thrown. Come on, young ladies, enjoy your drinks. Let it take your heart away. Come on, young ladies, enjoy your drinks. Come on. Girls, all the ladies, little ladies, wearing discuss. Naturally, this gave it to us. Lovers play death, they dig their own graves. Funeral invitations are sent. The attendance drops every time they die. Cause everybody knows that they're not really dead. The lovers play dead, they hop in their graves. No priest to say rest in peace. Time passes by, they claw the way out. They sound silly of a melody, the biting melody of requiem. The other ones, they play a harmony, a requiem for those who aren't dead. Lovers play death, they dig their own graves. Funeral invitations are sent. Attendance drops every time they die. Cause everybody knows that they're not really dead. The lovers play dead, they hop in their graves. No priest to say rest in peace. Time passes by, they claw the way out. They sound silly of
to do.